Right, let's just ask the Lord's help, shall we? It's your word, Lord, and we thank you for it. And I just pray you'll bless it to our hearts as we share together now, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Three John. So, I've called it another short personal letter from John. And the interesting thing is it provides us some insights into what the early church life was like. So we're sort of stepping back in time with our little magnifying glass to look at the early church to see what they were up to. So let's just read the letter first. The elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such men, so that we may work together for the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us. So if I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, gossiping maliciously about us. Not satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil is not from God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name. That's it. So we're back to the chap called the Elder. Well, we worked out last time it's John who's writing, and he uses the same title in this letter, and he may have written the letter around the same time since he's talking in the similar vein. So it's John the Elder, as we call him, yeah, and he's obviously recognized by the people in the church that he was the elder, not just because he was older, but because the Lord had called him to be an apostle as well. So there's the man who's writing to us. He's getting on a bit now. He's in his 90s. Yeah. And he's writing to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. So the letter's addressed to Gaius. We don't know who Gaius was. I mean, Gaius is a very common name in the Roman Empire then. You know, every other person was called Gaius, which would have been interesting in class, wouldn't it? Yeah? But anyway, Gaius is one of these guys. And, sorry about the pun there, Gaius was a Gaius, wasn't he? Never mind. What we can tell is that he's probably one of the local church leaders, since John's writing a letter to him. And he was obviously valued by John. I love my dear friend, I love in the truth. So he's someone that John had real fellowship with in their common faith. So these are two guys that know each other, it would seem. And we're not given an address as to where the letter went. We assume it may have been where John was, around the area there in Ephesus. So that's all we know. So it's from the elder, it's to Gaius, and it's going somewhere. But we can work out a bit more about what he's saying. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. Well, to say I pray that you'll enjoy good health and all that go well with you was then, and still is in a way, a common form of greeting people. You say, how are you? I hope you're okay. You know, that's basically what he's saying, although it's a nice way of saying it here, right? And he's saying it's a prayer. I'm praying for you to enjoy good health and that all may go well with you. So he's praying for his physical and mental health. That doesn't mean to say he was ill at the time. He just, if he is well, hoping he stays that way. And if he wasn't well, praying him to get better. But anyway, praying that you're okay. Right? And then he says, I hope your body and your mind is as good as your soul. even as your soul is getting along well, so it's spiritually is fine. And of course, the two can affect each other, you know. Your bodies can affect your spiritual state, in that, you know, when you're feeling a lot of pain and you're down and out, it makes things a struggle sometimes. But the other way around is, if your spirit's in a good state, it can make your body feel better. So there you are. That's his greeting and his prayer. Of course, some have taken this verse, you know. I know one gentleman, I remember he had this text on his, in a big picture on the wall, in his office, big office as well. And some have taken this as a guarantee of perpetual wealth and perfect health for every Christian. Is that right?
No.
No, apparently not. No. There are some very poor but very good Christians.
Yeah.
And there's some very sick but very good Christians as well. So, you know, it doesn't quite work that way all the time. Anyway, the Lord knows, doesn't he? Just to say this, does the Lord want you well?
Yes.
Yes, and eventually you will be 100%.
Yeah.
Right. But getting there might be a bit of a challenge at times. Okay. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell you about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. So, what's happened is some visitors have come and seen John. He calls them brothers in the faith. We're part of a big family, the Christian family, yes? So he calls them brothers. Some brothers have come, they weren't physical brothers, they were spiritual brothers, I'm sure. So they come along to John, and in the conversation, I suspect he was asking about what the church was like and how they were getting on over there, and they reported to him how Gaius was doing. Yeah. So the brothers came and told John, how Gaius was doing, and this is what he says. They noted that he was being faithful in and to the truth. Yeah, so he's a faithful brother. You could see that he was a straight lad. His word was his bond. He did the right things. So from the evidence of his past, we could say he's a faithful brother. Yeah, and he says, and how you continue to walk in the truth. Well, he's still going strong. That's the point, yes? And walking in the truth, again, that's that Hebrew phrase, to walk, means to live and make the right choices in your life now. Okay, so you've been faithful, and you're to continue being faithful by walking in the truth. Right? So you've got to do. That's what he was doing. He's giving us an example. I have no greater joy than to hear my children are walking in the truth. So John was inquiring about Gaius, and about others as well, I'm sure. And this good news warmed his heart. He's a pastor as well, you know. He cares about the people, and I suspect some of these people he'd led to the Lord. He says, I've no greater joy than to hear that my children. That's how he views the church, because he's the old chap who's been there the longest, of course, and he sees all these as his family, his children, and he's glad to see that they're living for Jesus. See there? Do you know that was? What was my heart to hear brothers and sisters doing the good things for each other and being a blessing to the Lord, yeah? So he's glad to hear that they're walking in the truth. So he's got this family that he cares about. And they're living faithfully to the gospel and to his teachings, John's teachings, the truth that he got from Jesus. So John isn't making up the truth, he got the truth and he's passed it on. And he's glad that others have got it and they're living it. You get joy. What's your state of joy at the moment? Are we okay on the joy front?
Yes.
Well, the thing about joy as opposed to happiness, what's the difference? Joy is something deep down, really, yes, that's the thing. Happiness can come and go a bit, I guess, but there you are. Joy is that sense of, you know, things are right with the Lord, and that brings a sense of joy in it, yeah? Right, on we go. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. Well, before we get into what he's doing, he says, dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing. Isn't it nice when somebody tells you you're doing the right thing, isn't it? A bit of encouragement goes a long way.
Yeah.
We can go a few miles on a bit of encouragement, can't we, yes? So, dear friend, you're faithful. You know, there was a booklet, I think I saw somewhere, it's an evangelistic one. Don't wait until he's dead to tell him. A bit late by then, yeah?
I've heard that before.
Yeah. I mean, just standing by the bedside and the person who's passed away and saying, you know, you were really good, you blessed me. It's not going to do any good then. Yeah. So, do it while you can. Right. And his faithfulness is a wonderful thing. Of course, Jesus commends faithfulness in all sorts of things, doesn't he? Yeah. Well done, good and faithful servant. And there didn't have to be a big shot or anything flashy. They were just doing what God wanted them to do, and he commends it. Well, John does the same. He's learnt from the Master, of course. And he says, you're faithful in what you're doing for the brothers. So John is particularly talking about a group of chaps who turned up at the church, this other church where Gaius was. They were what we would call itinerant ministers. They were travelling evangelists or travelling missionaries. We call them something like that, you know. And they were going from one place to another to share the gospel. And they weren't originally known to Gaius. These were strangers who turned up, but Gaius had welcomed them as brothers. You know, sometimes you can do that, can't you? You see someone, you think you've known them forever. Well, these were these kind of guys. They turned up, they were ministers, and Gaius welcomes them to the church. Yeah? So we call that love in action. You know how we welcome the stranger. Yeah, good. And they have told the church about your love. Well, they were impressed with Gaius, and they couldn't keep it to themselves. They had to tell everybody else. That's good too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a good guy, your Gaius, you know. So that's what they were saying. And the words got back to John. The church had been told about your love. So they gave a good report to the church, where they were. And obviously this has got back to John, eventually through the visitors. Right, so a good report. That's what we want. And you will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. So they're not going to stay. They're just passing through. But he says, make sure that you give them a good send-off. That's really what he's about. So they're still with Gaius at present, but they're moving on soon. So John encourages him to see that they get some support as they continue their work for the Lord.
Yeah.
So they fed them and watered them, I guess, and maybe they can give them support as they go further on sharing the good news. That's what it's about. So send them on their way. In a way, and he's going to say this, you know, they're doing their job, but as you share with them, you're doing their job with them, as you'll see. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. So that's the NIV translation. I'll pick up a little bit about it in a moment, but there's some things that we need to know about these missionaries. We don't know their names. They just came and they went. But perhaps John knew them, since he knows some details about them. It says, it was for the sake of the name that they went out. So these missionaries felt called by God, and that use of the word the name is another word for God.
Mm-hmm.
Often, if you're coming in things Jewish at all, they don't use the name of God often, they just say the name. Yeah? So it's God they're talking about. For the sake of the name, and of course the name of God is revealed to us through Jesus, of course. If you want to know what God's like, find out about Jesus. So, they felt called by God to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus, of course. And they went by faith. When we use that word by faith, it means they weren't getting any support from, you know, I mean, there were travelling speakers who went around in those days, and they put out the hat after they'd done their talk, and whoever was there, they'd collect from, you know, that sort of thing. Public, anybody, Joe Bloggs, you name them. But they said they weren't getting help from he calls them the pagans in the translation there. The actual word is Gentiles. Yeah? They didn't get any help from non-believers. That's what it means, non-believers. That's why the NIV is translated it as pagans. But it's the word Gentiles, he's saying. Now, I find that really interesting. Because John is writing to Gentiles who've become believers. So they're no longer like Gentiles, even though they are physically Gentiles. Yeah? There's something changed about them. They become believers in Jesus now. They're part of the family of God down the centuries. Okay, so he says they didn't get any help from these outsiders. That's interesting, isn't it? They were walking by faith, we'd say. Living by faith. Now then, there's a good question. It gets a bit difficult for some people where we talk about, I've come and I'm living by faith. This chap turns up, or this person. I'm living by faith. And what are you living by? Well, I've got a job. Or I've got a family and I've got a husband. Or he supports me, you know, and all that sort of thing. Are they living by faith? No.
Yes. I would say yes.
I would say yes. Yeah. Living by faith isn't about just getting money, you know.
No.
I mean, it has its place, of course, yeah. that to live by faith means you're trusting God for the next day, the next meal in a sense, you know. It might look like it's coming, but things can change like that, can they? So we're trusting the Lord day by day, but these guys, they were in one sense, and I'm not saying it's any better, but they were living by faith in the sense they had to depend for the next meal and whatever it was, they're fair for the next bit from the giving of the Lord's people as the Lord provided. So that's what he's saying, that's what they did. So as a result of what they've done, they've committed their lives to the Lord to serve him. So he says this: we ought therefore to show hospitality to such men so that we may work together for the truth. If we help them, we are being part of the work. That's the point, yes? He says, and we should help them. We ought to show hospitality. Put them up while they're passing through, okay? Since they're trusting the Lord for support, we are meant to be part of the answer to the trust. Yeah? We are part of their answer. Lord, we're trusting in you, and you come along and says, what can I do to help? Yeah? So that's part of the answer. Are you a hospitable person? Well, yeah, it doesn't necessarily mean you put them up in your house, but you know, you do what you can to support. That's the way we're talking about, yeah? And then we'll have fellowship in the work of the gospel ministry. And the reason that John mentions here about hospitality is, if I could transport you back to those days, in the end of the 1st century AD, when the Romans are in charge. Did you hear a little child or something? Yes, we did. It's Clara. Well, you weren't a little girl then, were you? She's probably on the phone, that's what it was. Anyway, hello! Long time no see. It's really Clara, is it? You're not kidding us, are you? Right. Oh well, that's good. Okay, anyway, back to this. Yes, in those days, end of 1st century Roman times, they had hotels or hostels or taverns as they called them, and they were seedy places. I mean, rough was not the name for it, yeah? And so, would you think of putting up a Christian in one of those? No. You shouldn't. And I just throw this out as a thought, you know. I've heard of people being invited to speak at a church over a weekend or something, and they've been put up in a hotel. Well, that's all right in one sense, but isn't there a family in the church that could put them up? You know, it'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, there you go. Hospitality for these. And what they're doing, what we're meant to do, is what Jesus says, because Jesus tells us to do this. He who receives you, that's who he sent, he who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. So you've got God coming into your house when you're receiving God's servants, yeah? He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Now I've got a question for you. What on earth does he mean by a prophet's reward and a righteous man's reward? Of course, my Gene asked me that question. I thought, I have no idea. It means you get blessed with them. That's what it means, doesn't it? Yeah. You get blessed with what they're blessed by. But how does that work out? Yeah. Anyway, Jesus is saying is, you do your bit for them and you'll get blessed. That's the way it works. Simple as that, anyway. Change of subject. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us. Now, Diotrephes, oh dear. It's the only person who's named. Named and shamed is the word actually here. Right? John had already written to encourage the church to welcome the visitors, it would seem, but there was an egocentric leader there called Diotrephes the Proud. Yeah, I'm the best, the greatest, yeah? Right? Diotrephes, he loves to be first. Well, we'll see about that. Number of things, this problem with this chap, is what's the root cause? Pride, of course. He wants to feel important. And how do you feel important when you've not got much to be important about? You put other people down. Yeah? Right, so, he wants to be a leader on an ego trip. No. Not very good. And it can happen to believers. Did you know that? Yeah. Have you met any Christians who've got a bit too much thought about themselves? Yeah. I hope not too many anyway. But I have known of some, let's put it that way. You know, they think they're God's gift to the church. Well, we're all God's gifts to the church, aren't we, friends? Yeah. Right. Anyway, he distanced himself from the apostles and refused to accept their authority. He'll have nothing to do with John. I mean, top apostle. I mean, he's the only one left. You know, and we won't have anything. He won't have anything to do with us. He must think he's important, mustn't he? So, if I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, gossiping maliciously about us. So, John is threatening a personal visit. Yeah? And when John visits him, he's going to sort him out. Paul talks about that in Corinth. He says there were people who were opposing Paul in Corinth, he says. And he says, I want you to sort this out, because if I come to you, you'll find out whether I'm talking or not, or whether it's just words or there's power behind it. Yeah. So Paul offers them a threat in his letter so that he doesn't have to deal with them. And actually they do respond, which is good news. But John is doing the same here. He's basically saying, if I come, you know, just in case, if I come, I'll call attention to what he's doing. I'll show him up for what he is. Right. And John is going to do that, not because it feels good. Why is John going to deal with him? For his good. It's for his good. So his wrong attitude and behaviour will be sorted out.
Yeah.
He doesn't, interestingly, I did read this in a commentary somewhere along the line. It says, he doesn't chuck him out of the church. Does he? He doesn't say, you know, we handed him over to Satan or something like that. He doesn't chuck him out of the church. So he accepts him as a brother, but a brother with a big head that needs deflating a bit. And then he says this, I'll come and call attention to what he's doing, gossiping maliciously about it. So, gossip is bad, brothers and sisters, you knew that, didn't you? Yeah? I heard someone say, you can't always believe what you've heard, but you can always pass it on. Not good. Anyway, gossip is bad, but malicious gossip is worse, isn't it, of course? He's doing down John and the other disciples in the church and whatever, and why do they do that? As I mentioned already, the only way someone with an inflated ego can keep it high is by putting other people down. Sad, really is. Anyway, he's aiming to discredit John and the others in order to boost his own importance. Bad. Not satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. So, there's no stopping a deranged ego. It goes from bad to worse. So, he's refusing to welcome the missionaries, that's the point. And in refusing them, he's insulting them, isn't he? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's bad to start with. I mean, remember, hospitality in that culture is something that's really valued. Yeah, I mean, in an Arab culture, for example, as well. Yeah, if someone, even your enemy, if he comes to your tent, you're obliged to put him up. When he goes, you can shoot him if you like. But while he's in your tent, he's under your protection. Hospitality is serious. And this guy saying, no, we don't want him. So that's a real insult, yeah? And then also, because he's not welcoming them, he's hindering their ministry in sharing the gospel. So he's blocking the work as well. So, probably he's afraid. Why won't he have them there? I suspect it's that they may get some glory that he wants. You know, that's the problem, isn't it? You know, they lead someone to the Lord and it wasn't him, you know, and they say, wasn't it wonderful what the Lord said through brother so and so? And he's steaming at this because it wasn't brother him, of course. Sad, isn't it, really? But that's Diotrephes for you. Oh dear, what a name. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. So he won't welcome the missionaries, and anybody who does want to welcome them, he bolts out of the church. Now, here's Peter, he's talking to the elders, he says, not lording it over the brothers. God's called you to be a leader, you're not to be a lord. Yeah? That's different. Yeah. And this guy is, he's, we'd say, throwing his weight around, isn't it, really? Yeah, so he's excluding these godly brothers and sisters who want to welcome and exercise hospitality. He throws them out of the church. Nice guy. Yeah. Essentially, I've seen this as well, he wants to be surrounded by yes men. Everybody who says yes to him, you know. Well, can't be good. Just to say, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be yes men or women. If there is an issue, tell me. Yeah? Because the only way for us to grow is to keep things right. Yeah. Dear friend, so he's coming back to Gaius now. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. So we're to imitate. some things, haven't we? Gaius, don't be tempted to follow his bad example. There are better role models to follow. Yeah? So, imitate what is good. If you see something good, do it yourself as well. Yeah? That's the idea. And we're to be imitators of Jesus, of course. Ultimately, aren't we? Yeah? But Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. So Paul was a good role model too. And obviously John is as well. Good man. But he says, anyone who does what is good is from God, and anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. It's as black and white as that. So it's how things are in reality. God is the source of goodness, and so if someone does good, then God must have been at work in them. Simple, eh? Yeah? Right? So God's working through good things. Yeah. And then if someone practices evil, then there's a question about whether they've had a real experience of God or not. Yeah. Well, there's a bit of a question about Diotrephes, isn't there, really?
Yeah.
Unfortunately. So, we've got one guy called Demetrius. Don't know anything about Demetrius very much either, really. But Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. So we don't know much about Demetrius. He seems to be an acquaintance of Gaius, and he may have been one of the visiting missionaries. He might have been one of the guys that went to the church. Anyway, he's got a good reputation. He's well spoken of by everyone. Is that good?
Yeah. Is it?
Is it good? Got a question for you there. Is it good? Jesus said, woe to you when everyone speaks well of you. Why would everyone speak well of you? Because you're a man-pleaser. That's what Jesus is getting at. The danger of being such a nice person, you'll say anything they want to hear just to keep on the nice side, you know? That's not what he's talking about. Yeah? Paul writes to Timothy and says, a leader ought to be well spoken of by outsiders as well. If he's got a lousy reputation outside, then don't have him. Because everybody else knows he's a bad egg, you better not have him in. So there's, the world's opinion does count in that sense. But yeah, so he's well spoken of, this Demetrius chap. And even by the truth itself. Right, so his life matches what the Spirit-enabled believer's life should be like. So the truth is on his side because he's living it. Yeah, and he's bearing a good example. Demetrius, good lad. We also speak well of him. So that's John and the fellow church people there. And also he may be speaking as the apostles, a representative of the apostles. We speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. The Holy Spirit bears witness that this chap is a good lad. And the disciples say, yeah, he's really, really good. And John is saying is, what we're telling you is the truth. That's a bit of an aside in one sense, but he's saying, what I'm telling you is the truth. I'm not making it up. It's not human. It's not invented. Where does John get his truth from?
God.
From God. Yeah. Jesus taught him. He's got the scriptures. So what he says is the truth. Yeah? Just remind you once again, the book, the whole truth, has nothing but the truth. Yes? Right. We've been to this one before. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink.
I like that.
Well, in the previous letter, he didn't say, I want to write with pen and ink. He used paper and ink. Mm-hmm. Of course, he used paper in this as well. But he doesn't want to write with pen and ink. That's a slight variation. He's really saying, I've got a lot more to share with you, but I prefer to talk to you rather than just write. But again, we'd be thankful that he did write, can't we? Because we've got it. But just a little technical question that puzzle me. I mean, it's nothing spiritual in that sense, but when John says, I wrote with pen and ink and paper, well, we know the paper's the papyrus. We know that, is it? And the pen was probably a quill type of thing. What did they use for ink? Because you couldn't go to the shop and buy a bottle of it, you know. What did they use for ink?
I don't know.
That may be another reason why John didn't want to write with pen and ink. It could have been expensive. I don't know. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Perhaps John was fairly near to where Gaius lived, so he could go and see him fairly soon. And it's good to share fellowship together, isn't it? Is that right, Clara?
Yeah.
It's good to share fellowship together. Right. So he's looking forward to seeing his friend again. I hope to see you face to face. And then he says, peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name. So his final greeting is peace, shalom, is what he's saying, really. And the members of the church where John is are called friends. The friends here send their greeting. Yeah? So, are we friends?
Yeah.
Got to be friends as well, right? And he says, the friends greet your friends over there. Greet the friends there by name. So, the friends at Gaius' church are the members who are there. And they are to be greeted by name. Now there's something interesting, and I think, as I mentioned last time, remember this was a dangerous time for Christians. You could get arrested and executed for being a Christian. So, in some places, yeah? And so, they tended to keep quiet about names, I suspect, at this time. So he says, greet them there by name, because when they're together, it's okay to call them their names. Don't write it on a letter, because if the letter gets intercepted and the authorities get hold of it, they've got a list of who to hit. Yeah? I guess that's what was going on. Anyway, whatever the background to that, greet the friends by name. Isn't that lovely? So, what he's got to say is, John sends his greeting to you, to you, to you, to you, and so on. Yeah? Lovely, yeah? So, here's a summary. We've looked at the letter, a quick summary of John's third letter. In five sentences. I'm glad to hear that people are living out their faith. Are you glad?
Yes.
Right. Mission support and hospitality are important. Yes?
Yes.
I'll deal with the ego trippers. That's John's job. Yeah. Good role models are worth following.
Yes.
Yes. And see you soon. That's from John as well. So that's his letter. Praise the Lord. And that is it. Let's pray, shall we? Thank you, Lord, for this lovely little letter. Lord, from one brother to another and from one church to another, we thank you for our brothers and sisters. And Lord, we thank you for all these brothers, Lord, even old Diotrephes, Lord, with all his funny ways, Lord Jesus. Forgive us where we fall short. Grant us grace, Lord, to take advice and to learn. And we just bless you, Lord, for dear old Gaius and Demetrius and all the other brothers and sisters. Lord, thank you for your church down the ages and for your family today. Help us to value one another and to appreciate what we have in Jesus. We thank you, Father, for your love in Jesus' name.